Hello, and thank you for joining the Connection Therapy Podcast. This is a podcast about the craft of psychotherapy, and we seek to support those who strive to improve their craft by sharing research about the science and stories about the art of psychology. Together, we will explore these findings so you can decide how you want to apply them to benefit your practice. In this episode, you might have the experience that I did when I reviewed this research article with you, which was along the lines of, wait a minute, we already know that, as in research article know that, not just like I intuitively understand and kind of feel that I know that. Yep, I have an article today that confirms what I am guessing you might already intuit in the clinical session. And I'll give you a spoiler alert. The clinical implications are going to go probably for you along the lines of what they happened for me, which is something like, yeah, I kind of did think that's how it worked, but man, it's even a little better than I hoped. All right, here we go. So we're going to review a research study from a group comprised of researchers across Europe, and it is entitled Social Synchronization of Brain Activity Increases During Eye Contact. Yep. Let me read it again. Social synchronization of brain activity increases during eye contact. Authors are Luft, Zioga, Giniopoulos, Bona, Benetti, Civellini, Latora, and Marichal. Hopefully I'm doing some justice to your last names. The link will be in the show notes for how to find this article. It is publicly available via something called Open Access. And it was published in 2022 in Communications Biology. So the setup here is they have two people connected to EEGs, and they're scanning their brain activity as they ask them to do specific tasks. Let's start by reminding ourselves that an electroencephalogram, or otherwise known as EEG, is a test that measures electrical activity in the brain, and that is from the Mayo Clinic website. So they have the EEGs set up and they ask the pairs to do different tasks, and that their findings support something called the interactive brain hypothesis, which is a hypothesis that says that examining one person's brain alone is not sufficient to understand the synchronization we observe in social interactions. Let's just break that down for a minute. That was a direct quote out of their study. The interactive brain hypothesis suggests that examining the brain alone is not sufficient to understand the synchronization we observe in social interactions. And what they go on to explain is that they evaluated the brain activity in what's called interbrain, in the brains of each of the people who were participating, as well as intra-brain across both of their brains. They could do calculations that looked at the activities between or intra-brain connections between the two participants. And what they observed is that, and you can kind of tell from how I'm hesitating here, they observed a lot of things. There are a lot of things in this article, many of which I'm still trying to understand after spending a few days with it. Essentially, there is the long and short of it is that brain scanning has come a long way and can detect many things that I didn't realize were possible at the moment. I thought we were still a few years from being able to do studies like this, but this one was published a few years ago. And so what they're suggesting here is that there's a way that they are analyzing both what is happening in the brains of the individual people as well as how their brains are connected, that's their word, looking at intra and inter-brain connections. And I am so thrilled about this. And then they go on to say that, quote, collectively our findings support the hypothesis that eye contact affects the synchronization between two brains more than it affects the links within each brain. And even further, they showed that the brains of friends synchronized more strongly than people who didn't know each other. They had, of the 50-some pairs of people they had in the study, some were previously friends and some didn't know each other. And so they asked these people to do a task and then they measure the EEG activity. And then they also added in their analysis of eye contact between the pair. And they show that eye contact affects the synchronization between the two brains more than it affects the links within each brain. And this is stronger for friends when the friends were able to synchronize more strongly. Oh, and then later on, they explain that there have been previous studies where they actually set up, not theirs, but they're referencing a previous study where they had dyads or two people do uncooperative tasks, like where the people were sort of working against each other. And the previous study that they reference demonstrates that there is less brain connections between the two people in that example, and that the activity was more in the individual brains in that previous study. Therefore, okay, so let's just summarize briefly here. What they're saying is that there's more connections, and yes, as I mentioned, that's the word they are using in this study. Just happens to also be the word I would have selected as well, so I'm thrilled about that. But there are more connections between brains when there's cooperation. That's one of the many summary lines that could come out of this study, but for mental health therapy, I think that's the most, well, for me, it's the most relevant and easy to apply out of this study. And I'll say it again, it seems that as I read what they're saying, there are more connections between brains when there is cooperation. When in the activity where the participants were not cooperative, there was more independent brain activity and less inter-brain activity between the two. And again, here we are where it's kind of like we probably intuited this, but now we know it again with a ton of data analysis and EEGs and all kinds of interesting findings. And this seems to be more effective with the eye contact behaviors, which of course, given my interest in eye contact, is highly interesting to me. Aside from being really exciting and a bit intimidating with how many ways they are describing this and things that I would like to learn more about, in particular EEGs and how to do brain scans and what all the different bands or frequencies are. They list out how the various interactions between brains are showing up in the frequency levels of the EEG. So I'm not reviewing that part because I don't fully understand it well enough to do that, but I do understand that I have a lot more to learn in this area, which is exciting. And also bringing it back to working in a therapy session. So how am I going to use this or integrate this into therapy work? Well, I think it underscores in very distinct terms and ways, it underscores that cooperation changes the ways that our brains, at least the activity that is shown, changes with cooperation. And that cooperation starts, or at least is helped or initiated or amplified maybe, by eye contact. And perhaps one reason I'm so excited about this research article is due to my own interest in eye contact. I mentioned it in the most recent episode of dogs and cats being able to follow the gazes of their humans. And this article now is looking human to human and exploring from a brain activity perspective how that works. And so thinking about this in our offices, we can be confident that eye contact is a significant part of our therapy work. And with cooperative behaviors, such as when you're working with children and you might introduce an interactive activity that supports cooperation, now we can see here with confidence that that is something that gives the child an opportunity to not just have activity in their own brains, but gives the child an experience of having these increased interactions inter-brain. In other words, your brain and theirs are, if you were connected to EEG systems, would show connectivity across brains. And with the research that discusses that increased socialization leads to better outcomes for children in terms of relationship skills and other things. You know, like I said off the top, spoiler alert, we're just going to learn here what we most likely intuitively already know. But for me, it's fascinating that EEG systems are able to pick up activity between brains. That, it, to me, is really new. I've certainly sensed that and felt that experience at times, but to realize that we are living in an age where that can be picked up by scientific measurements is exciting, because it helps me think about the ways that we can make our treatments more distinct. You know, maybe some patients would respond better to this than others, and maybe there are ways that we could make our interventions more specific to need for the particular person at the particular time. My own work with trauma survivors suggests that there is a delicacy to when and how you increase eye contact and interactive play and cooperation-based activities. And so thinking how to do that more specifically and become a better therapist as a result is exciting to me. It's also, I've mentioned many times now, the eye contact between species lends itself in this direction as well. And I think as soon as the systems are able to pick up how brain connections work across species, we will see something maybe similar, maybe different, but definitely exciting to be practicing in a time where it is possible to learn about what we already know in a way, but learn about it in a new way that both confirms our intuitions and opens up additional possibilities for practice is pretty thrilling to me. What else is thrilling is that the podcast is growing. I wanted to say a big thank you here and also maybe share some highlights you might be interested in knowing if you are listening for the first time today or have listened in the past. Thank you, and you're not alone. We've had an increase here lately that I thought would be fun to review. And then if you'd like to get a little more involved in the podcast, there's a way that I can offer you to take part in that if you would like. So just a couple highlights here. In September of 2023 is when the podcast was launched. And in the 2 years since, there's an over 4,000% increase in listenership. But I need to qualify that, because when you have any increase over what was basically almost nothing, then it gets pretty high pretty fast. So that first month, 2 years ago, more than likely at least half of our listeners were myself, just making sure it was working and things. So a better statistic might be in the last 90 days, we've had an increase of 168%. And in the last month, an increase of 124%. In more exciting news, we are global. A majority of listeners are from the United States, but we also have had listeners from the United Kingdom, Lebanon, Australia, Germany, Belgium, Canada, Chechnya, in Singapore, South Africa, Austria, Iraq, Italy, and Kenya. So awesome and such an honor. Thank you again. This is just incredible to imagine interacting with people from all over the world. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. It's an honor to be able to share this with you and to just, it means a lot to me that you would spend time listening, and I appreciate that very much. If you'd like to be a little more involved, I want to provide an opportunity where you could submit either a question or some feedback, or maybe you've tried some of the things I've discussed in the podcast and maybe they worked for you, maybe they didn't. I would love to hear about those. And so there's a link in the show notes, and it is an opportunity for you to submit a question or feedback or thought. And I won't say your name unless you would like me to. I would just give a summary of that on an upcoming episode. I'll summarize the feedback I get so that we can kind of have some reflections from listeners on how these topics are working for them and in their practices. And the link is in the show notes if you would like to take part in that. But again, just want to say a huge thank you and express a lot of gratitude for your time and attentiveness, and look forward to bringing you more episodes in the years to come. Thank you. I hope you'll join us again for future explorations in the field of psychology. And if you'd like to take a step further, there are additional ways to obtain more education and support on our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com. While there, you will find information about the authors and studies featured in the podcast episodes. Also, you will see a schedule of live trainings I offer on the topics featured in the podcast. And you will find information about the Connection Community, a growing group of mental health clinicians dedicated to the study and practice of psychotherapy. Please check out our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com, to learn more. Thanks. Until next time.